this lady's just walking up the street drinking a beer. I think that's illegal in this state. Mm-hmm. Ooh. Ooh. We out here. Okay. Everything. All right. Everything is fine. Go, you fuckers. Go, you fuckers. Go, you fuckers. Go, you fuckers. Come on, fuckers. Go, fuckers. Fuckers. Good productive week. Got some fucking important stuff done. Hectic in spots, to be sure. I wish I had a copy of The Witness. I would like that. That'd be a nice thing to be able to sink into this weekend for at least some of the time. But I do not. So it's the way it goes. Can I get a witness? Yeah, I mean, I should have tried sending an email to the person who sent us the copy that Brad's been playing and said, like, hey, can I get a witness? I hate doing that. It's probably a mentality I need to get over because there's value in multiple people on staff playing games across the board, really. But I don't like to be hitting people up for 9 copies of a game and being all weird and, you know, it's just, you know, they've got to send it to a lot of different people and then I want to be like, hey, we need 2. Except in, like, cases where it's like a multiplayer thing or something like that, you know. That used to be, some people, you know, some magazines and websites and stuff rolled like that where they're like, we need 5 of everything. Like, what? No. And sometimes they would get it. That's crazy. The Royal Rumble this weekend? I haven't been keeping up on the wrestling. I know it's coming soon. I just don't know when. I'll probably watch that. It is, yeah. Yeah, I'll probably watch that. That's... Somebody here had a website that posted thoughts and reviews and they got keys constantly. I think obviously keys are a lot easier to get than physical copies of games. Like, that stuff has definitely changed over the years. It depends on when you're trying to get them, honestly. If you're trying to get it in a early review time frame, those are sometimes harder to get. Or they're in shorter supply, I should say. It also depends on which platform you're trying to get, because sometimes your digital Xbox One game doesn't even go up on the store until the day before it goes on sale, or the day of, and so there are no early keys, or in the case of Xbox One stuff, if you're unlocking something early, there's actually a second key. Like, one key is a pre-order key, and then the second key unlocks the pre-order ahead of time. And I know publishers and developers get a limited number of those prior to release. I don't know what the deal with Sony stuff is these days. It varies depending on the game and who's publishing it and all that sort of stuff, I think, but... Are you just gonna just fucking try to pull this jack move and pull right in front of me? I see how it is. all may speak. In this, our free world.
I don't have a...
I got nothing. I do at work today? Meetings. The unprofessional Fridays. Filled out some important paperwork. Started making some plans. Talked to some developers and product people about some new feature stuff that they're working on. There's a project going right now that'll better organize more of our videos on the site, a better chronology to the shows, basically. So I had to kind of build a starter list of, like, here are the things we definitely want to break out. There will definitely be more than these, but if you want to get started, this is what we're looking at. For as much as people like it, I'm surprised at how clunky the opening bits of God Hand are. I messed around with a bit of that last weekend. There are parts of that game that I see why people would think it would be awesome. And there are some pretty rad things about it. But I didn't get far enough into it for it to really click. And some of the movement in terms of just how you walk around and turn and all that stuff is, you know, PlayStation 2 era. The start of God Hand is terrible. Yeah, that's good to have someone else say that, because it's like you see some flashes of some neat shit, but you're like, I walk in the saloon and I punch this guy and he turns into a crazy demon and then I just die. The fucker is rough. Like, do I just need to kind of... just need to get good, or what? But I think I see why reviews for that game were all over the place back then. With dreadlocks and a top hat and a big beard saying, I mean, I don't know what he's saying, but he might as well be saying, "Welcome to San Francisco." That's every, oh, that's got your keys hanging from your belt too, huh? It's very, it's a cool vest. Do you have to watch season one of Lucha Underground to understand season two? I bet you don't. I bet that they'll recap the most important events of season one in the first episode of season two, if they're smart. Or introduce the concepts in a way that people can understand regardless. You know, maybe when I get out of San Francisco here, in another 10, 15 minutes or so, depending on how things go. Oh, you motherfucker. All right. Okay, we're good. We're good. Perhaps I will crack open the phone lines for a little bit. Yes. Hello. You know what? If you want in this lane, I'll... Okay, you don't. I was going to let you in. I was like, oh, yeah, sure. Do I have any ideas for my next Mario Maker level? Not right now. I made one I guess it was last weekend. That 3-day weekend. I made one then. And I was like, I started that one going like, I'm going to make something easier. I'm going to make something that's a simpler finish. And then I made this underground area that is, like, actually kind of fucked. It's not too bad, but... What are the differences from the Turbo graphics and the PC Engine? There kind of aren't. I mean, they're the same console. The cards don't work between. There's a hardware-based region lock, and the pinout on the cards are reversed. So you can get an adapter that'll play one in the other, but it's, you know, same stuff. The original PC Engine was only, like, RF out, because it's a pretty old system. And I guess, actually, the TurboGrafx was RF out, unless you bought the Turbo Booster or something like that? Is that the thing that makes it spit out composite video? And there's a PC Engine add-on that would do the same thing. I think you can slap that on there, now that I think about it. But they're more or less the same thing. Yeah, the add-on for the TurboGrafx, the thing that added composite, was like, it's the whole back end of the console. It's a weird thing. But also, that's where the CD attachment would attach. So if you had the Turbo CD, I believe that also had the composite out on it, so you'd get it that way. I have a PC Engine Duo R that is pretty cool. I don't use it all that often, but it's pretty fucking cool. It's got a region switch in it for playing US stuff. Let's see what's on the radio here. This is stairwells, I ain't hear nothing bugging. Only thing I remember was a bull's fist summer. So I stopped at the second floor, ran across tracks and falling. My pockets is mean, clean when I ran the store to go. Made track look easy, a walkie talkie to DT's head. Black day was rated PG. Run, I will not give up. No, quick flag the car down. No, 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 go to the car now. Good luck, quick, back up, hit the bitch door. Turn down the hill like the mama. Call stuff over Skype. I wonder how Skype over mobile is working these days. Like in terms of just voice quality, call quality. Maybe I'll try creating a new Skype account or something. One of these days. Off the Golden Gate Bridge, when I get down the hill here, I'll open up this phone business for a little bit.
I don't know, this one appears to have a bottom, but I'm still gonna drink it. Okay. Alright, I'll see you guys next week. Bye, friends. Gently. Okay, sorry. Bye. Bye. Serious.
And, like, like our next band was helped out significantly by one of our top 20 bands today, Bon Jovi. Gene Simmons, lead singer for Kiss, was the first rock star to spot this band. But what sealed the deal, the record deal, was when, purely by chance, John Bon Jovi walked into the Empire Rock Club in Philadelphia, saw these guys on stage, not only helped them land a record deal, John gave them plum spot of opening for Bon Jovi on the Slippery When Wet tour. The band with Friends in High Places and Tom Kiefer's distinctive voice, Cinderella, Nobody's Fool, number 26.
There's been a lot of Cinderella happening lately, and I'm not sure how I feel. No, I am sure how I feel about that. I'm not for it. Alright, 707-925-2662 is the number. Maybe no one has any questions, maybe no one will call, but maybe someone will. I never know. I always assume no one will call, or that it'll be broken somehow. If you're looking at my Tumblr page, the phone number is right there. I set this to autoplay, because I thought that would be funny, that someone might be looking at that page, and then it just starts talking to them live. That probably sucks. I mean, autoplaying stuff sucks, but it's a Tumblr page, so whatever. I
to the mind, aligned, defined, divine. Being is believing in the depth of the soul. I radiate the flow and the flows of the pools of my intellect. Organic and feel around the ambience. More digitized, got me figuring synchro. The micro, micro, the tanko. G-force down, the boss line of chrome. Throughout the zones of hell, I drop drones and frames and bones. A digit analog style of tone. Home alone until now.
Oh. Glens Falls, New York. Hello, who is this? What are you, where are you calling from? Hi.
Hey, Jeff, this is Matt from Saratoga Springs, New York.
Fantastic. How's it going out there? I understand it's snowing, or you're all dead?
I think it's snowing, but let me look out the window. It's really dark here. I don't see any snow. I think we're good.
Oh, is it? Okay, all right. So I just assume the entire East Coast is done with the way that they've been talking about it.
We're good. How are things out on the West Coast?
Fine. It's been rainy, and they keep saying that we're just going to be swept away into the ocean when this El Nino thing really happened. What is on your mind?
I went to your Tumblr to ask you a question, and then your thing started auto-playing. And then you started talking about how it would be funny if it started auto-playing for someone.
Yeah.
my question I was just typing up to you was, do you remember the episode of On the Spot where you hosted when Rich was away and gave away a bunch of crap at the end for like 30 minutes?
Yes, that rings a bell. Yes, that we just like gave away
It was like Harry Varmint Hunter and the muffler from Dirt to Daytona.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I remember that muffler. I had two mufflers in my office at one point because two different racing games thought it would be a good idea to send a muffler.
I guess I was just curious. That's my favorite episode of On the Spot. I think it's the end of. Super funny. I'm just wondering if you have fond memories of that, like I do.
Yeah, it's that stuff comes and goes. Like there are little bits and pieces. It's usually the stuff that I remember from that era that was always my favorite was like, you know, just it was that feeling of being in the trenches with people and getting shit done. It was a lot of stuff like when we were working on Time Trotters, and it was like, you know, some random late nights about like, oh well, you know, we've got to record this thing five times. We have to record this night trap dialogue like for 3 hours, 4 hours to get it all down, to get it all right, and all that stuff. Like that's stuff like that. It's individual videos, like the dumb little infomercial goofs we did for the like how to get 5,000 achievements fast videos and that sort of stuff. The knife show thing we did after E3. 1 year is one of them that I always like the cooking with Tim segments that we did a couple of those like little things like stuff like that the stuff that was a little more like one off there was something we did like when we got a hold of there was a Final Fantasy drink called Potion that they brought out. We imported some of that and shot a dumb video with that. Mentioning the muffler is what makes me remember all of that stuff. Like, yes, absolutely, yes. We gave away all of the crap that was in my office and got rid of it.
Yeah.
which is fun. We talked about doing that when we were moving this time, because there was a lot of stuff that we had kind of set aside of like, you know, this isn't stuff we're going to necessarily want to keep in the move. But we just didn't have time to even pack that stuff up and ship it or do anything with it. So, but we still have a lot of weird stuff that we did move that we should probably get rid of. So I almost want to do something like that down the line.
So did you actually send that stuff out to people back then?
I think so. I mean, I didn't do it myself, but I would like to think that we gave it to like to whoever was in charge of like contests or something, like community manager or something like that. I want to say we probably did that, but I don't actually know.
Yeah, because you were urging people to write emails, and other people were saying use the questions form. It just seemed like no one had any idea what was going on. It was just a whole sham.
I don't have that muffler anymore, and that's something I would have kept if I could have. So I assume that it went out.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear.
Yeah. But yeah, that is how I wanted to do, like, contests, like that sort of stuff. Is like, you're getting all of it. One person will get all of this stuff. It's not like, you know, hey, we're gonna mail 1,000 things out. It's like, no, we're gonna put together one package of, you have to accept all of this crap. There's no way around it. You will have to be the one to throw it away. I just think that's a funny way to do it. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, cool.
Yeah, bye.
Yep, I'll see you later. Bye.
Yeah, have a good.
Ha-ha. I hit the button to hang up, but it didn't. There it goes. The thing that breaks that is that, like, game companies don't send out shit the same way they used to. We don't get nearly as much stuff anymore. I got a Star Trek Timelines poster recently. It's like, this is kind of a cool poster, but I don't need it. I don't have any place to put this. Up late on a Friday. East coasting it. Hello.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, hi. Who's this? How's it going?
Hi, this is Dan from Seattle.
Hello, Dan from Seattle. With your New Jersey phone number all sly.
It's true. Yeah, I've made the full transition out west.
Nice. It's no one changes phone numbers anymore. It's kind of beautiful. You can never know where someone is truly from when they call.
Yeah. No. It's it's interesting because my girlfriend is from Pittsburgh. The first level 412. She keeps coming out.
Yeah. Yes. That is. I know tons of people that live here that never because no one is from San Francisco anymore. And they all kept their phone numbers, so you just never know. It makes any time you have to give your phone number to someone at, like, you know, like a grocery store or something, like, they always assume the area code, and it's never, they can never do that. Anyway.
No, that doesn't work.
Yeah. What is on your mind?
So, I did see, you know, and with the Bombcast, all that talk about Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah.
I have to say, I'm a big anime fan.
Uh-huh.
I'm in a line that Ghost in the Shell is okay.
Yeah.
Like it's not like this golden oracle of cyberpunk that people want it to be.
Yes.
It has like a lot of good themes, like the whole thing where like I'm an android and I swim, which is dangerous because I can like float upon the ocean. That's interesting. But like it's just not the golden cyberpunk thing of anime.
I assume that it must have seemed a lot more revolutionary upon its release. Whereas, like, now, like, the concept of, like, what is humanity, what is sentience, like that's in so much different stuff now that, like, the way the Ghost in the Shell movie handles it is, like, childish by comparison. Like, they don't get into it enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just trying to go, hey, you know, what if we took the concept and you had a cyber brain, we could, like, hack your cyber brain to make it do things, right?
Yeah.
And what's a shame too is with the movies, like there's two more. I haven't seen the third one, but the second one came out a while ago, and they don't build on it in any way. Like the second one is honestly just like, well, we have a bigger budget and we can have better animation, but not really anything else to say. We're just gonna redo the same thing.
Yeah, and people keep pointing me at Standalone Complex, which I took a look at the first couple episodes of that, and that's interesting because it just seems like it's just a TV show. It's just like they're just crazy high-level cops solving problems, and it's, you know, like, hey, and along the way, there's a little bit of, like, hey, this guy died, so they put his brain in a tank, isn't that crazy, and that sort of stuff, but it's like, that's a little more interesting, because they don't, they don't approach it like it's some magical golden thing. It's just like, hey, this is the reality that this takes place in, and, you know, it'll have to get dealt with, and they just deal with it, and you're left to go like, yeah, it's a little fucking crazy. Wonder what would happen if that really happened.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. There's I don't know, like, Cyberpunk's weird, because it's definitely one of my favorite genres, but it's been hard in anime to find something that, like, executes the entire time. Like, there's another series called Ergo Proxy, which is, the basis premise is there's some, like, humanity might have died out, we might have killed the Earth, but we want the humanity to keep going, so now we're just continuously cycling through clones and cloning everyone over and over again. So that's interesting, and, like, it builds up on that, but it just, at some point, it's like, well, we have to have 24 episodes, even though the show really only should be 16, so it's just like, eh.
Right, yeah, I guess that at some point the format gets in the way with storytelling. I mean, that's, you know, that's across the board, all kinds of stuff runs into those sorts of problems.
Yeah, it's an interesting trend where, like, episode counts for shows seems to keep getting smaller. So recently, most seasons are only 12 episodes, and there's been a couple that are only, like, 6, whether it be budget or just, you know, wanted the team to tell a more concise story. It's interesting.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing, you know, to force people to be a little more concise with that stuff, to kind of get more out of the episodes and all that. Though, I mean, then you end up running in situations where it's like, okay, 6 episodes aren't enough of this, and now it's going to take another year or something to ramp up for another cycle of 6. It's the thing you run into with, like, British television and stuff like that, with the way they handle their series, is that, you know, sometimes the downtime between their runs is kind of crazy.
Yeah, and it ends with a lot of, like, 4-episode series ending on cliffhangers because they're hoping to get that second season because they don't know if they're going to get it. Yeah. And then when they get it, they actually haven't fleshed out how to do another 12 or so episodes, and then that actually ends up always being trash.
Yeah.
Least in my experience.
Yeah, that ended up kind of being the Twin Peaks problem. Like, season 2 of Twin Peaks is kind of just a fucking mess because it's like they wrap up some of the key stuff in season 1 and leave just enough to... for a season 2, but it runs out of steam in a weird way.
What do you think about that new remake
for Twin Peaks?
It's like a film, right?
I think they're doing episodes. I think it's like a mini series for Showtime or something. I was under the impression that there would be like that it would be episodic, but I guess I don't know. I really like the idea of them returning to that world because I think that there's plenty of cool stuff you could do there, but so much time has passed and the cast is just, you know, the age difference, you know, I'm sure that that'll have to factor into the story that they tell. But I also just, you know, I don't know what you do with that. You can't bring it back exactly as it was because so much time has passed and the way television is made and the expectations for television are so different now. That I think, like, sticking really closely to what Twin Peaks was would probably do it a disservice also. It sounds like that X-Files miniseries that is hitting or is about to hit or whatever is not so good. Like, it sounds like the reviews of that have been kind of weak. And I'm worried that, like, Twin Peaks would fall into that same kind of trap.
Yeah, I'm also not too happy with the new mention that they're going to remake 24, or they're going to make new 24 with none of the existing characters today, and that just seems not interested.
Yeah, like, what are you making at that point, you know? Like, the idea of, like, hey, Cyber Task Force that fights terrorism, like, obviously that's pretty evergreen, but when you attach the 24 name to it, it brings such expectations that, you know, like, it's the double-edged sword. Like, games run into it all the time, like, when you're remaking games, of, like, hey, this... You know, this game has none of the, like, only the most basic ties to the old property, such that it only serves to anger people that really like that old thing. But at the same time, the name recognition is such a big part of, like, getting people interested off the bat and you know, getting it the attention it needs to exist at all. So, like, they play with fire with that stuff across the board. And I just feel like it doesn't work out so many... You know, like, more often than not, it doesn't work out. You know, for as much as I like that Syndicate reboot, it has jack shit to do with the original Syndicate, you know?
yeah.
you know, their kind of half-hearted attempt with, like the multiplayer levels are named after the levels in the Syndicate, in the original Syndicate campaign. Like, that's kind of it.
And with 24, to me, it's a little bit worse, because they did the whole 12 miniseries, like, years after or whatever, and they kind of established a good female role in, like, Jack's kind of, like, in CPU parter. It's so, like, why not take this character you just made, who everyone kind of liked, and is now a female lead, and just remake 24 with a female lead? But it's like, we're just going to wipe all that out, say it several years later, and deal with new terrorism threats. And, you know, the nostalgia thing, like, I'm still sore from SimCity 2013. I did the whole thing where I just, like, oh, it's SimCity. I fucking love SimCity. I will blindly buy this, and it'll be great. And it's like, I can't play the game for 3 days because of the online shit. Okay, now I can play the game. Wait, I've played for 3 hours, and I'm filled the whole screen. This is garbage.
Yeah, that thing was, It's the thing where they had, like, a, you know, they, I don't know, maybe it wasn't a wide beta or something like that, but I remember I had the opportunity to play it, like, for a weekend before it came out. And for that weekend, it was like, okay, like, this seems like it could be pretty awesome if it continues at this pace or expands in a nice way. But, this, across the board, they did not make a lasting game. That stuff sucks. I mean, you know, thankfully City Skylines came out. I mean, that thing's not perfect, but that did it for me way more than SimCity ever did.
Yeah, it's definitely something to fill the gap, and actually had, some maybe challenge to it, which, like, that was the other problem with SimCity 2013, is just there was no challenge. I just easily made enough money to balance the books, and, like, this is nothing like 2000.
Yeah, you just fill the city, and then it just becomes like, well, are you going to contribute to the arcology or these wonders or whatever? Like, that stuff. When I found myself, like, playing every territory in the space, I stupidly started my first city with, like, friends, and they were like, even after the game started working, they were like, "Fuck this, I'm never going to play it again." It's like, okay, well, great. Now you are taking up space in this area, and you're not contributing. That's, like, totally fucked up, and there's, like, no way for me to kick them out. I think they changed that later, but it's just, yeah, a huge missed opportunity, and just, like, this scorched earth thing of, like, well, you know, like, sure, I guess they could wait 5 years and try to say, like, hey, SimCity's coming back, but, like, how many people are going to fall for that shit again? Even if they get it right next time, it's this huge uphill battle now.
Yeah, and it's really, I mean, how do you get it right and then also improve upon it when you're, depending on where you're starting from, right? Like, the expectations really are, that's just all wonky.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, okay. All right. It's been awesome talking to you. You know, I'm a premium member. I love you guys. It's great. So,
cool.
Keep it up.
Thanks. All right, have a good night. Have a good weekend.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Have a good weekend.
Yep, bye. I'll take like one more call, because I'm not that far from home now. And here it is. Hello, who's this? Where are you at?
Hey, this is Andy from Napoleon, Ohio.
Napoleon, Ohio. How's the chili there?
Not great.
Okay.
I mean, there's better barbecue around here than there is chili.
All right. That sounds like a step up.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's this a trailer that parks next to a video store in the middle of town. And occasionally they're there, usually they're not, but when they are there, oh boy, tasty, tasty barbecue.
I mean, if you can't trust a trailer that sits next to a video store for great barbecue, then, you know, then this, we as a country have failed.
Hey, seriously, I mean, that's something that the presidential candidate should be debating about right now.
Yeah, I mean,
more trailer, seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's we have a lot of burrito trucks and stuff like that, which is, you know, like, it's a pretty suburban town, and, you know, it's like you wouldn't think there would be a big call for any kind of food trucks, but there's a carpet store, and a burrito shop sets up in the parking lot of the carpet store, and then there's another one that parks across the street from an apartment building next to, a baseball field and elementary school at night, and they serve burritos out of
fantastic.
That.
Fantastic.
Yeah, both those places are pretty good, and like, pretty trustworthy, too. It's one of those things, like...
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's the food truck thing is weird, but awesome.
Mm-hmm. I mean, see, I like to have the food trucks, because then you have, like, just a couple of people, you know, using their, like, secret family recipes or whatever, and you get a nice variety. You get something that you know, but it's their take on it, and sometimes it's just a knock out of the park, and other times, but...
Yeah.
So it's good to have the variety.
Yeah, for sure.
Because, I mean, in this town, like, the best you can do is, like, wait for, like, the county fair to come by, and then you get, like, a bunch of trailers in one spot, but they're gone after a week.
Yeah, they're opening, I guess, like, they've cleared some space here in town where they're going to try to rotate food trucks in and out. So they'll have, like, yeah, we got, like, you know, 6 food trucks, and then next week there'll be 6 different ones, which I don't know that there are enough different... there must be enough different food trucks for that to work. It's not that big of a town.
That'd be amazing. It'd be like a rotating food court.
Yeah, but that's basically what it is. There's one of those not too far off from our office where they've laid out some fake carpet, and then... Yeah, just every week it's new food trucks. So you just go and they've got...
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, they've got it kind of closed off in kind of an easy-to-get-to area, and they've got tables set up around there if you want to stay and eat. It's kind of cool.
I would be all behind that sort of thing.
Yeah. But enough about that.
This call is now being recorded.
Oh, my God.
No.
Enough about that. What's on your mind?
What? Okay.
Google Voice
so,
being weird.
I just had... That's crazy. I was just wondering if any of you guys have tried out the game The Mean Greens, which is on Steam right now.
The Mean Greens. No, I don't know that... I have not heard of it. I don't know if anyone else has checked it out, but I have not heard of it.
It's basically just strictly the multiplayer from, like, the old Army Men games.
Oh, okay. Huh.
And that's it. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's, like... It's made with Unreal Engine 4, so it's just gorgeous. You've got a bunch of different levels that all have different, objectives that you're trying to do. Like, one, you've got this great big birthday cake. One team is trying to light all the candles. The other team's trying to stop them from lighting the candles. You've got one that's in, like, a freezer, and you have to melt these great big ice blocks that have big plastic T-Rexes in them. It's amazing.
That sounds pretty cool. Yeah. Maybe we'll have to...
Yeah, and, Yeah, but like I was saying, it's just multiplayer right now. Like, there isn't any, single-player stuff. All of it, like, unlike the Army Men games, all of it takes place in, you know, like, regular-sized environments, just, you know, at a tiny scale.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Unlike with the Army Men games, where they had, like the inches and stuff that were like, oh, you're Army Men, but you have, like, actual ground and stuff, and it's...
Yeah.
I never liked those levels.
Yeah, yeah, that was not good.
But, yeah, I mean, like I said, it, for what it is, and like I said, they're on, like, 1.6 right now, and they're still doing, like, balance tweaks and stuff, but considering what it is, it's really well made. Like, I'm really impressed by it.
Cool. Yeah, I'll give it a look. You know, I don't know, maybe we'll do something with it, maybe we won't, but I'll at least check it out. I did see that there was an Army
Men
style game that kind of moved across the release schedule not that long ago, but yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's like, what, $15 right now?
All right.
And like I said, it's great.
Yeah, cool. I'll give it a look.
Cool.
Awesome.
Great. Yeah, you have a great night. Thanks for making amazing content.
Oh,
and
thanks.
Yeah, I hope to see you guys, you know, soon.
Cool. All right. Take care.
Yep.
Bye.
Yep.
All right. That's going to be that. I'm pretty close to the house now, so. Get this, and then get this. There we go. Thanks, everybody, for calling. I need gas. It's funny, because being on the phone suppresses the pop-up on the car screen that says, hey, you should get gas. Like, the light comes on, but... thing has happened before. I want to say with Google Voice it's something where you can hit star or something while you're on the phone and it will record the call, but I didn't hit anything. I just wonder if maybe the connection got weird and it thought it heard it and that started recording it. I don't know. It's a mystery. Or maybe there's a voice command. I mean, I doubt they would have a voice command that would enable recording. That seems crazy. I'm home. That's fantastic news. Wasn't even that long of a drive. I was worried with how shitty long this drive has been. And I think next week is where it's going to be, like, Super Bowl traffic or, like, for their dumb Super Bowl village or whatever. Okay. You made $10 during this drive. Great. Great. I probably spent $10 in gas and data. Well, maybe not date him. All right. Have a good weekend, everybody. See ya.